Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, women's voices on culture, style, society and well-being. Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking.
Jodi Allen Malthus, please introduce us to your book, This Man. Who is this man?
This man is Jesse Ward, the Lord of the Manor. He is a British lord, not technically. He seems to be dubbed that by the readers. He is a prolific alpha male. He is obviously a god. He is very dominant. And he meets his feisty counterpart, Ava O'Shea, who's a strong, independent city girl. Meets his match.
Mm-hmm.
Ensue massive power struggle.
Yes. In your own words, Jesse Ward is unreasonable and controlling in the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So what's his appeal?
I wrote about a man. I was fully aware that I was pushing the limits on alpha male behaviour, which is why I made Ava so strong, because she challenges him. And Jesse, with his demanding ways, it's all part of the story as well. You have to read the story. There are reasons for many things that he does, many things that happened, and he uses his sexual magnetism to his advantage because she crumbles under his touch.
Mm-hmm.
So there are various degrees of Jesse's style that persuade Ava when he feels it necessary to do so.
Yes. Okay, so which brings us to, there seems to be a theme in certain books that's become very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
50 Shades, Sylvia Day, her mm-hmm. books, Bared to You, etc., of a somewhat damaged person then compensating through real, real dominance,
mm.
verging on bondage and discipline and things like that.
Yeah.
Were you inspired by that theme? Were you...
No, I actually wrote This Man prior to the explosion of 50 Shades. My main point was exploring the limits of the alpha male. They don't have a dominant-submissive relationship. He is just dominant, and he is an alpha male, and he's a playboy. He's an hedonistic, pleasure-seeking, arrogant playboy who
used to getting what he
yeah
wants.
Women fall at his feet. He only has to smile at them, and then Ava comes along and throws him a curveball because she doesn't fall at his feet.
Mm.
And that makes him have to change his tactics slightly.
Mm-hmm. And was this born of your own fantasies?
I think every woman fantasizes. If they don't, it's not healthy.
I
was fully aware that I was placing myself in the shoes of Ava, mainly to see how she would... I'm a strong, independent woman. And I have a career, but I still want a man to take that aspect of demand after my day's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fully aware that I was placing myself in her shoes throughout the story. And I think many, many of my readers do exactly the same thing.
It struck me as a, dress it up in different erotic... Mm-hmm. type scenes, but it struck me as an old-fashioned rescue fantasy.
Yeah, it's a passionate, powerful love story.
And I think rescue fantasies appeal to us because, we're tired of doing it all.
Yes, exactly. I think, women, whether you're an independent career woman or whether you're a mum who stays at home and looks after the children or you have a 9-to-5 job and a family... Every woman is challenged every day with things that take priority over self-indulgence. So come the end of the day, a lot of women lose themselves in these powerful stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
Have you met Jesse Ward in real life?
No. Everyone asks me if he's real, and he's not real. Oh, my God. No, he's not real. He's a complete figment of my imagination.
Mm. He's a pretty fiction.
He's very pretty fiction.
So you grew up in Northampton, you live in Northampton.
Mm-hmm.
What is your background and how did you get into writing?
My background, family girl. My father has a construction business. I've worked for him most of my working life. in his office. And I think, like, women lose themselves in a story when they get home from work. I lost myself in my own story. I'd never written anything in my life, and until the whole story was there in my mind, it built over over 18 months, 2 years, and I had the whole thing there, and I just sat down and thought, I'm just going to write it all down. It didn't matter if it was rubbish, because it was only for my eyes. And then suddenly I had two books, and I finished Beneath This Man and realised that I still wasn't finished, and started This Man Confessed. And then I let a friend read it, and from there, really, it just spiralled. She kind of gave me a kick at the backside and told me to do something with it.
So it was sort of an antidote to sort of working life.
I used to read a lot. I haven't read for so long now, because I just haven't got time, and that's one thing I really miss. But yeah, I lost myself in my own story.
And your friend read it and said, you should.
Yeah, she burst through the back door crying. After she finished This Man, she said, you have to do something with this. Yes. Where's the second book?
Give me more.
And I just stopped and considered then that perhaps it wasn't rubbish. And I started exploring my options.
And what did you find your options were?
The only thing I really knew to do was to contact agents. I had a little look on the internet. I approached a few agents, and I got the thank you but no thank you letters. And then I started looking into self-publishing. And I went down that route. And then within 4 weeks of self-publishing, I was contacted by agents in New York. And found myself in New York meeting agents.
Wow.
Crazy ride.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. From doodle doodle doodle, yeah. You know, this is for me, you know.
Well, I write in complete secret, and then I had to tell, I told my friend Kate, and then I told my mum, because she was worried, because I got a bit consumed by it, and she said to me, I have a feeling this might be big. That's your mum, isn't it? Oh, stop it, mother.
And has she read it?
No, she hasn't. Mm. Not because I won't allow her to. She's not a big reader anyhow. Mm-hmm. She likes autobiographies. But I'm still her little girl, and she works with me as well. So she kind of knows the story. I do remember writing and thinking, what would people think if they read this?
Yeah.
What's my mind capable of?
Dad.
Yeah, oh no, he won't go near it.
Probably for the best.
Blissfully unaware, bless him.
So, and then literally 4 weeks after self-publishing.
Yeah.
And what's the process of self-publishing?
Depending on what platform you use, there's many who offer self-publishing services. There was only one available to me, so it was the only one I could use here in the UK. I think in America there's a few more. I did read up, there's lots and lots of tutorial videos that if anyone who wants to self-publish should watch. I should watch them like 100 times. It's all about how you format the document when you upload it, uploading your cover. Now I find it simple, though I don't have to do it anymore, which is just typical, really, isn't it?
But the once first you've mastered
time,
it,
yeah,
next skill.
That's right. But it's really quite straightforward. The most worrying part is your book being available and other people reading it and reviewing it.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened? You uploaded? Did you check every day?
I uploaded. It was a Sunday night. And I think that was on the 20th of October, and I think the 7th of November, which was 3 weeks later, I'd sold my first book in the US, and I was very excited. And then a week after that, I was selling 1,000 books a day in the US, and I couldn't work out what was going on. And then the agent started calling, and then I was in New York, and then I was signing.
At which point you had to tell your parents.
Well,
I'm going to New York because...
I told my parents before I self-published it. And they came to New York with me to meet the agents.
Great.
Which is all very family, you know. Kids come, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, and then the agent, who I was in an amazing position to pick an agent, I picked well. They said I'd have a publishing deal within 3 weeks, and I did. And from there, you spread to countries all over the world, and This Man published 2 weeks ago in the UK. It published on Tuesday in the US and Spain. And today is Beneath This Man's publishing day.
Yeah.
So it's just, honestly, it's not slowing down.
And December will be This Man Confessed.
This Man Confessed in December, which is the final of the trilogy in the UK. It publishes 21st of January in the US. Mm. And then all of the other territories are staggered from now until spring next year. So
Exciting.
Each week something exciting's happening. Each day something exciting's happening, yeah.
Tell me about your army of ladies.
Aww.
In Las Vegas.
Wonderful women who have, many of them, been on the journey since day one. And I interact with them daily, and they appreciate it. And it's nice because where I am now is partly because of them shouting about it on mm-hmm. social media, spreading the word, telling people about a book they'd found that they loved. And I went to Vegas, which was funny because I signed up for that when I was self-published. And you have a print-on-demand service. You can print books as a self-published author and take them with you. Of course, then I became published and I couldn't print my books. So I had no books to do a sign-in with. But I had lots of merchandise and they all really wanted me to go still. So I did go and I'm glad I did. And I met many of them and they were just wonderful. And they love the British accent. They just kept telling me to say, bloody hell, bloody hell. And knickers and ass. So, yeah, they were wonderful. And next year I'm in the States once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
In various states, again, meeting them. So.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
So, and how's this affected? Because, as you said, you've grown up in Northampton. You work in the family business. You've worked in the family business for a while. You have two sons.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does this affect, you know?
Well, I was
money's
an office.
Changed, yeah, everything's
of course.
Changed.
I was an office girl. We lived a comfortable life. We went on 2 holidays a year, and it was all lovely. And I was a normal mum, working, doing everything normal mums do, and I'm still a mum, and I still do all of the cooking and the cleaning, but now I'm travelling the world as well, you know.
Just an added side.
Yeah,
benefit.
I take the children when I can, sometimes it won't allow, but I have a great family and a very supportive family, and that is a huge deal.
Yeah, I think that would allow you your kids to still be stable.
That's
and comfortable,
right,
with their grandparents around.
Yeah.
Still the same everyday support.
It's so important, yeah.
That they have.
I couldn't have done it without my family, for sure.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yes.
Another thing that struck me, sorry to go back to the trilogy, and it didn't form as a trilogy in your mind. It formed the first book and then the next.
It was just a story.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize how long it was going to be.
Is it more? Are we done with Jesse and Ava? Are we going on from there?
This is the hardest question of all. I never say never, but it was always meant to end. The first two books, This Man and Beneath This Man, were the build-up to This Man Confessed. which is my favourite book of all three. I love this man. I adore Beneath, but Confessed is just perfect. And they're shouting for more, but it just went out on such a bang. It went straight to number one in the New York Times, and I just think, how perfect. Mm. It's just too perfect as it is. And I've written some Jesse perspectives because the books are written from Ava's monologue. And I probably shot myself in the foot because they're screaming for more now.
I have to say that, you know, because obviously it's focused on the man, even though it's told from Ava's perspective, it's called This Man.
Yeah.
Everything beneath This Man and This Man Confessed. And you give one chapter at the end of This Man from Jesse's point of view.
Uh-huh.
And it was so good and so interesting to get it from the other perspective.
Mm.
And just as sexy.
The first Jesse perspective,
Why did you do that?
Well, people asked me to. When I was self-published, people asked me to. And I wrote the first and published it on my website. And it was when Jesse met Ava from Jesse's point of view, the moment she walked into his office. And it went down so well, I crashed the website and everything, people logging on to read it. And I've written a few more since. And then when I got the publishing deal, my publisher in the US and in the UK said, let's add a bit of, you know, some new material to the paperbacks. So I wrote three more Jesse perspectives, one for each of the paperbacks. And yeah, they love them. I think I need therapy before I write a whole book from Jesse's perspective.
Yeah, channeling Jesse.
Yeah.
That's a little intense.
I love writing from his point of view, which is strange as a woman, obviously,
with
him being such an alpha male. But it's gone down so well. I'll never say never about writing anything more about this man from Ava's or Jesse's perspective. But at the moment, I need a break because it's exhausting writing about him just as much as it's exhausting reading about him.
Very energetic man.
Yes, very.
A lot of emotions inside that man, bursting out.
Yeah, exactly. And the readers are feeling it, and that's wonderful because I felt it as I wrote it. And to know that I'm transferring that emotion into my reader is really a great feeling.
Mm. Very empowering.
It's important because it's such a passionate, emotional story. It's important to me.
Yeah. And speaking of self-publishing in general, I mean, you've had a wonderful experience. It's been fantastic for you.
It has.
But recently there have been, you know, certain platforms are taking self-published authors off because there's been scenes of rape or incest or what have you. And you have some strong themes and some people might object to them as well. Do you feel that that's censorship or what's your feeling on the matter?
I think it's been blown out of proportion, the whole thing. I think it was a case of someone typing in something innocent and something not so innocent coming up.
Yes.
I think it's more filtering that needs to be looked at, the search filter on the websites when people are looking. Of course, if you're looking for a children's book, you don't want an erotic novel to come up, especially if it's a child looking for that book. So I think it's a case of panic by the retailers. Self-published authors, unfortunately, have no support from a publishing house. And they've suffered, and I hope it gets resolved, because some of the books that I'm aware of that have been taken down are wonderful stories. Wonderful stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to see that resolved.
Do you think the online publishers have to take a little bit of the, you know, because they get money for this, and they do nothing other than provide a platform, pretty much.
You mean the retailers?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, because they really don't provide anything.
Well, they provide the platform, for
exactly,
a start,
other than the platform, but a way to navigate through them, perhaps, as opposed to just shutting you down.
They're very supportive to most self-published authors.
Mm-hmm.
They provide a wealth of information, but when they're targeted by the media and so brutally, it's kind of, like I said, it's panic. And I think they've all panicked and thought, oh, we've got to look like we're doing something. And many self-published authors have suffered because of that. And, of course, erotic fiction would be the obvious
go-to
target.
Yeah.
Because some of the stories, some of them are dark stories, but they're stories and they're fiction, but they're captivating.
Yeah, yeah.
And readers love a story that holds their attention.
And also those are things that happen in real life. And if they were in a non-erotic, you know, situation, you wouldn't think of censoring them.
I think it, like I said, the filtering is really important for things like that. If you're looking for a certain book and perhaps you don't like that genre and it comes up, raises a few eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems like a PR tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, I hope it gets sorted out, and I hope it's sorted fast, because there's a lot of self-published authors who rely on their sales as a living.
Well, it will be, because it is so popular.
That's right. And
it will be.
I can only imagine, from my success when I was self-published, the money the platforms must be losing because of this must just be immense.
Yeah.
So they'll be sorting it quick. Yes. That's a reassurance for any self-published author who's been affected by
it. Yeah, because if you were just, say, you know, in that same moment of, you know, 4 weeks in, say it was December 1 of your, you know, of having put it on October 20th
to
December
1, it would be like... how I would have felt.
Yeah.
Because media exploded that day.
Yeah.
My Facebook, Twitter, because I'm in contact with many authors in the self-published industry, it's where I came from, and it's, you know, something that fascinates me, and I'll always keep myself in that community. And it was anarchy, you know.
Yeah.
There was books just, we just
free fall,
sat there and watched them drop off of the radar, just gone, just like that. And of course, if that's your book, I can only imagine the heart must have just
that's your little baby you put out there,
typing it in to make sure it's still there, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do, because they must have been inundated with emails and queries to try and find out what's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's a waiting game for many of them.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jodie.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you, darling.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us. Contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com. And to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?